the December 12th meeting of the City of Aiken Planning Commission. I'm pleased to see that we have so many residents joining us. If you have not joined us at a previous meeting, let me share a few of our guidelines. First thing I'd like to ask is that everyone please check their cell phones to make sure that they are off or on mute. And I'll share our process. This meeting is going to be a little bit different than our regular meeting, and we'll have an explanation of why. But our process will still be the same. We will ask for every application before us, for those who would like to speak on behalf of it, and for those who would then like to speak in opposition, and then we'll allow anyone to come back up and make any other comment in response to anything they have heard. One of the things that we need to do, if you will step up to the podium, and please remember that you are addressing the commission, not the audience. If you will state your name and address for the record before you begin your comment. And we ask that you be respectful of each other's comments and times. And then once we have heard everyone who wishes to speak, it will be back to the commission for a motion. Our first order of business is accepting the minutes of the November 14th meeting. Are there any changes, corrections, or additions? Not, may I entertain a moment to motion to accept them as presented?
So moved.
Okay. Second. All in favor? Okay. All right, our first application is application 18-20009. It's an annexation request. The property is at 1123 Williams Drive, and the applicant and owner is Rachel Legmore. Did I say that right? Is there anyone here who would like to speak on behalf of that application? Is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition to that application? All right, now see how simple this is? Now it's back to the motion, back to the commission for a motion.
Madam Chairman, with respect to application number 18-20009, an annexation request for the property located at 1123 Williams Drive, I move that we recommend this to City Council because it meets the conditions of our
plan, comprehensive plan.
Okay. And there are no conditions attached.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor? It passes unanimously. And we will let them know to check with the City Manager's office for the scheduled City Council meeting. All right, our next item is application 18-40003. It's a minor subdivision request. The location is 215 Grace Avenue Southeast. The applicants and owners are Mr. and Mrs. William Moore. Is there anyone who would like to speak on behalf of this application?
If I may,
yes.
Would we want to say a few words about the unique nature of this meeting?
Ryan, would you like to address that? Sir, this is the podium here.
Yeah. So, yeah, Madam Chair.
Yes, thank you.
So this is a bit unusual in that it's a variance request heard by the Planning Commission. Most variance requests go through the Board of Zoning Appeals. However, we have a special provision in our land development regulations that assigns a variance to a subdivision to the Planning Commission. So the Planning Commission, in the case where there is a variance request, has specific criteria in the code on which it may judge the variance request. Those are: the granting of the variance will not be detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare, that the request of the variance is based on a particular condition, size of property, shape, topography of the property, which are not generally applicable to other property. Strict compliance would impose particular hardship and not a mere inconvenience. The variance would not violate the provisions of any other ordinance, and the request is not solely solely to alleviate financial hardship. Those are the criteria on which the Planning Commission will be asked to judge this, the validity of the request. And this item does not is a final decision by the Planning Commission. It does not go to the City Council as many items do. Any appeal would go through the Court of Common Pleas as any similar to the BZA items, the Board of Zoning Appeals. Additionally, in the code, it requires the Planning Commission to approve a resolution, either approving a resolution of approval or approving a resolution of denial, which is somewhat unique to this process. So in this case, you have just a brief kind of discussion. You have a an approximate 9-acre residential single-family stable RSS property in which minimum lot size is 3 acres. The applicants are requesting variances to lot size on 2 lots. Both those lots are approximately 1 acre. And then a variance to an accessory unit setback on one of the parcels. So those are the 3 variances from the approved submitted subdivision request. So.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. All right, Mr. Moore.
Yes, we're going first. Thank you for hearing our motion. My name is William Moore, Bill Moore. Address is 215 Grace Avenue, Aiken. I suppose first I'd like to emphasize that this is a minor variance for subdivision. There's been quite a bit of misinformation in town, a good bit of anxiety, which we think is has been unnecessarily stirred up. I have one email here that says if this is granted, it will be the end of the horse district as we know it. Let's flood the meeting. We think that sort of thing is completely unnecessary, given that this is a minor subdivision. We've been on this property. We have lived at this property since 1985. When we bought the property, it was unquestionably in distress. There was a number of parts of the garden that had been overgrown. The previous owner, Andrew Williams, did not live there for about 5 or 6 years that he was the owner. He was a single owner, and that might actually give us some indication that just one owner of a 9-acre property may not be sufficient for its long-term maintenance and sustainability. I think his major contribution to the property was golf balls. We still find them occasionally underneath various trees. The property, other than that, was in severe disrepair. There are 17 structures on this property. Each one of them, over the course of our 33 years, has been renovated. With the exception of the main house, every structure that was on the property when we arrived has been maintained and is still existing. It's important to know, as you look at this map, that as I think one of the commissioners very kindly pointed out, Bob, that when you see the property, when you view the property, this comes to life. These are not simply lines drawn arbitrarily on a map. Each one of these lines represent a natural division in the property, a pre-existing division. They are, in a sense, natural divisions of not only the geography of the property, but also the uses of the property. On the property, you might break it down into 3 different uses. There are rental properties on the property. There's rental properties. Can everyone hear me when I turn to the side? Can you hear?
Yes. They can hear you if you talk into the microphone.
Yeah, I just wanted to sort of point over there. In parcel 3, that's primarily the rental properties. Those are legal rentals. Each rental was achieved with a proper building permit. They are zoned properly. We are registered to pay taxes in Aiken on those. And we do pay the hospitality tax. That's true. So there are 3 structures on parcel 3. The future use of parcel 3 would be primarily would be exclusively to retain those three structures. They would not be torn down. They are in very, very good condition. They're available online. If you want to look on our website, it's Aiken Luxury Rentals. You can see the interior pictures and the exterior pictures. The future use of Parcel 3 would be, we've agreed to the city, that Parcel 3, what has been the garage and is partially renovated, the only thing not renovated is the lower bays, and those could be renovated and make that into the primary residence of Parcel 3. There's absolutely no intention of creating any other main structures on that building. The only option that we've asked for, because we are trying to increase the viability of the equestrian use of the property, not decrease it. We must emphasize that. There'll be an increased, balanced use, potentially, of the equestrian aspect of this property, not a decrease. We're asking only that there could be the potential of a small two-stall stable there in order to preserve the equestrian use, to encourage equestrian use. Let's continue to talk about Parcel 3. There are now four tenants of different households on Parcel 3. They are, as I said earlier, legal tenants. We pay tax. Instead of those four tenant households. Instead of the four tenant households, two of the rental units would be created into the primary residence. So you, on that parcel, you would go from four tenants to one primary owner. The carriage house, which is there, would probably be used as an office to an owner, and the other house could be a rental house or perhaps a guest house. That's the best and highest use for that property. Once the best and highest use is reached for each one of these properties, they become sustainable. They become viable. They don't fall apart. When we came to the property, all of those buildings were ready for demolition, every single one of them. Okay? If it goes to one owner, it does not ensure the viability, the sustainability, or the use of the property. It cannot be stated with any more emphasis than that. So parcel three, which would, instead of being primarily tenants, would become centered around that owner. Okay? Let's go to parcel two. Parcel 2 is only, at the moment, there are three structures on Parcel 2. There's the historic laundry house, and there's two little utility side structures there. When we moved to the property in 1985, we lived in that laundry house. We renovated that laundry house when we moved, just as we moved here, and we lived there for approximately 3 to 4 years. And we have subsequently renovated that several times in addition. Again, the photos for that are online. Please have a look at it. It's very, very high standard. Okay? We foresee that a future owner, it's now rented, it's to an executive of the Savannah Riverside, a great individual, but he's moving on to Washington State because of the changeover at Savannah River. He's not a permanent resident of Aiken. He doesn't pay income tax in the state of South Carolina. He pays no realty tax, none of that. He's here for a while, he's gone. We would propose that could become the main house. That could become the main house, a main structure for an owner, a stake owner. Is there a question?
Sir, you don't take questions from
the
audience.
Okay, well, there's somebody talking there. That's right. The second parcel, as I say, would have a stakeholder instead of the tenant. That's a large parcel. I don't know whether the exact number of linear feet along Grace Avenue, but it's very long. It has a long frontage on Grace, and a relatively small frontage on Magnolia. That could also be a horse equestrian property. We've also asked for a similar potential for a small two-stall, maybe a little storage stable. We have a lawyer that we're going to work with. He's going to testify that we are, as if in the future these properties are sold or otherwise given over to other ownership, this will be on the deed. We've discussed this from the very beginning for some time now of what we would do to ensure that the architectural integrity of any additional stables on the property would match the existing architecture. It would not be a shed, it would not be a shack, and there's plenty of places on all of these lots to hide a stable from public view. Remember that there's a brick wall that runs all the way around this property. It's very, very hard to see inside. There are historic gardens in this property that need also to be preserved. Under our plan, there's absolutely no need to take out any of the garden space. If we go to other plans, there could be, you know, fairly radical changes to the garden, and certainly in the future, even a one-owner person might be tempted to, as did Andy Williams, to turn the place into basically a golf course. Okay, so let's go to parcel number one. That's the present main house. There's a driveway that comes to the front. That would be the primary means to access parcel number one. The main house obviously would stay as it is. Let me just note right now, there are two entrances to the property, surrounded completely with a brick wall. If you were to stand at either one of the entrances, say 5 years from now, if our plan's enacted, we believe that you would see a well-maintained property and virtually see no change whatsoever to this property. So anyone who talks about Aiken being destroyed has to tell us why a property that's visually the same is going to destroy the city. It's a leap of logic. So, all right, so parcel number one, you have a driveway. It remains the same. Main house remains the same. If I may say so, the gardens are almost, they're not necessarily the best in town, but they are very unusual and special. There's a lot of very unusual trees there. We invited a number of people who have been writing these emails in town to come visit the property before they spread any more discussion about what we had in mind. We wanted to show people this, but all of our invitations went unanswered. That parcel remains the same. Again, like parcel 3 and parcel 2, we're asking for the potential. We would not build any more stables, but if there were future owners who wished to build stables and to increase the equestrian aspect of the property, we would ask that parcel number 1 also have a two-stall little storage component to it, which would be completely hidden. There would be no further driveways anywhere under our plan, under this plan, no further driveways anywhere at all. Not on Magnolia, not on Grace, certainly not on Whiskey Road. Don't really see the need for it in the future as well. There's plenty of, we've been living with this arrangement for years, and in fact we have never even used the front driveway. All right. Again, parcel one basically remains the same. If I may say, I'm going to address this in a little bit further about the hardship aspect of this. We do not intend to sell parcel one, at least in the short run. We want to stay on the property. If we were to sell parcel one, we would either move to parcel 4, 3, or 2. We have no financial need to abandon this property. Okay? We'll discuss that in the future. One person I might say we call, or my wife spoke to, is evidence of financial distress. There was ivy growing on the wall. That was evidence of financial distress. That's the level of the conversation that's been going on in Aiken. Okay, so now we're at parcel 4. This is critical. What it, that is the stable area. You can see the configuration. There's the courtyard of the stable. There's a number of outbuildings there. And there's the paddocks, and I think there's a number of paddocks there, about 10 paddocks existing now. The key to this for us is when this is done, even though Parcel 3's lot line is there, and we've adjusted that a little bit, when you stand there, you would not see any change at all in that paddock area. If somebody, you could, there's two options. If people would take the time to read our full proposal, instead of letting be a subject to rumor, to actually read the proposal, you'll see that what we've done is, there are 18 stalls in the stable complex right now. That is more stalls than what the property has required for a number of years. What somebody could do, there are, as I say, a number of stalls. Without really changing the stable complex visually, they could take the tack room of the main stable and the stalls that are behind it, which are now used only for storage, and turn that into a very nice, cute house. That would be the main resident. If they did that, there would be no visual change to the historic part of this property. Does everybody understand that?
Mm-hmm.
No change. If somebody didn't want to touch that, and for some reason they needed, I think, was it 14 or 18 stalls? Is it 18?
Yeah.
There's a lot. We use some of it as storage and so on and so forth. I think it's 18. Mm-hmm. If somebody wanted to keep all 18 and leave the tack room, good for them. There's plenty of room over on this side without the requirement of any variances. That little structure over there is a swimming pool. It could easily be turned into a house. No one would see it. Okay? No one would see it. No additional structure. That's not necessarily the case. Okay? So that would depend. We think that gives the flexibility to keep that historic aspect of the property intact. Okay? So, in terms of use, what you have is parcel 2 is a tenant. You've got tenants in parcel 3. We, in the winter time, this winter, we will have 9 ladies with 9 horses in the stables. There will be a lot of, it's completely legal. We have, in fact, 3 years ago, we went through all this in terms of, because we're the only legal composters in town. We are obliged to not go beyond 9 horses because of that agreement. We want to maintain that. That's the main thing about what we want to say there. We want to maintain that aspect of the property, that equestrian aspect of the property. And as I say, in terms of traffic, we know that there's been some inquiries as to traffic. There will be, and I know people have scoffed at this because they don't want to come and talk to us. There are this winter, again, just to repeat, 9 ladies, 9 horses, and they come and go all day with their grooms. You have to be logical, at least a bit, to recognize that a new stake owner, somebody coming and paying South Carolina taxes and engaging themselves in all the equestrian clubs and activities of Aiken, joining in the civil life of Aiken, those people are not likely to have 9 horses. That's not likely. But even if they did, one owner will not have anywhere near the amount of traffic as 9. Okay? Because they'll come in and sleep there and they'll have their set of grooms. 9 people, as present, legally, come and go with their grooms and their trailers and the whole rest. That traffic will be less, not more. Okay? Tenants, they come and go now. What would be replaced by that is stakeholders. And if people are interested in this, I've got a letter from somebody who wrote to a local newspaper concerning life in Charleston, and they are concerned about tenants, hotels, tourists, and so on and so forth. And they say you need permanent. This letter states that you need permanent residence. So it happens to be somebody who's on the other side of this issue, and maybe they'll argue a different point of view tonight. But the communities all across the world Communities seek permanent residence, ownership. That ownership is key to community spirit and life. And we think that that's going to be very much increased by this. So, hardship. We do not intend to leave Aiken unless things get worse. But we have been, both of us have been ill over the last few years. My wife has recovered from cancer. I've had several surgeries. We are not the same as when we moved here in 1985. We do not disguise that. We are not as at a good health as we were then. We were not. We were young and foolish at that time. We still may be foolish, but not young. And so we are trying to establish something of this property. A shame nobody has wanted to hear this. And, you know, we have to do it here. We are trying to establish a sustainability and viability to this property. We think we have spent a lot of time trying to figure out how to do this with a minimal amount of impact to the city. We want sustainability, viability. We want to follow the comprehensive plan of Aiken, which asks for the increased or present use of equestrians. We think we have done that in spades. We have reduced the number of tenants and replaced them with stakeholders. We think we have done that in spades. That's a major problem. We are also members of the Aiken Council of Neighborhoods. We would welcome other people in this room who have expressed great interest in the future of Aiken. We would ask them to join the community organizations who are interested in the whole city of Aiken, not just Grace Avenue, but the whole city, to join the Council on Neighborhoods. They will find out some of the other problems that exist in Aiken with tenants and poor quality landlords, people who are not paying their taxes. These are plenty of problems in Aiken that we can address besides being obsessed with this one. So, that, in terms of why we're doing that, we are not really capable of maintaining, having the energy to maintain all this property. We have two children who were raised in Aiken. They live in Northern California. They both have jobs. One of them is also a part-time student in mathematics at Stanford. An interest in a life in California. They don't want to abandon Aiken. They would like to keep the presence here. We would like, to, as much as we can, physically to hold on to at least some portion of this property. We have never discussed this division with any single real estate agent in town. There is no way that anybody can claim that. We are going to, if we put these up for sale, we are going to figure out a way. When and if we do, we want it to be organized. We want to make sure that it's viable for the future, and then those decisions can be made. And again, we've discussed with Bill Tucker how to establish all this in terms of covenants, the future viability of this. So we're trying to look down the road. A lot of people, I think people have said before, a lot of these big estates have been inherited by people. It's dumped into their laps. They don't know what to do with it. They panic with it. They don't have the time to sell it, and it turns into a mess. We want to avoid that. That's the issue of why we are doing that. And there's not one bit of evidence can be shown by anybody in this courtroom to the contrary. It feels like we're on trial here. I apologize. So I hope we've addressed all the issues. If you have any questions for me now, I don't know how that works. But
yes, before you sit down, we will ask the commission to ask you some questions.
So I'm to understand that each of these parcels will be sold under a covenant type situation, and within that covenant there will be certain guidelines and restrictions that the individuals who buy must adhere to?
Bill Tucker, 704 Pin Oak Drive, here on behalf of Bill and Simi. Once again, find half my clients sitting out in the audience on the opposite side of this matter, but that's the way it goes when you practice law. I was the closing attorney for Bill and Simi back in 1985 when they bought the property from Andy Williams, and I'm sitting here having a hard time believing it's been 32 years. So, but Susan, to answer your question, when the Moores came to me initially with this concept, I had probably the same reaction a lot of people sitting in the audience had. I thought, oh my gosh, you know. But the more I thought about it, this was the realistic way to ensure viability and sustainability for this property, which is going to be a difficult property someday to sell as a 9.04 or 8.97 or whatever the proper acreage is. But to answer your specific question, yes, the intention would be that before any one lot is sold, either by a freestanding declaration of restrictive covenants, just like you see in subdivisions all over Aiken, or in the deeds themselves, they would be heavily restricted, both in terms of the normal things you think of with restrictive covenants, but also in terms of the shared driveway off of Grace, which is not reflected in that survey from Todd Haas, but it's somewhere, of course, right under where it says Grace Avenue and along the proposed boundary between Parcel 2 and Parcel 3, but the shared driveway would be have to be covered, and the maintenance of that driveway would be covered in the restrictive covenants. I've also discussed with Bill and Simi, which should be of comfort to the neighborhood, that we would also certainly look at a possible facade easement for all or some of the major buildings on the property, much the same way that the Wilcox has a facade easement in favor of Historic Aiken Foundation to preserve the buildings. I think Bill touched on it, but I want to emphasize that under the proposal that they're talking about, there really would be no physical change at all in the property. The buildings you see there now would still be there. The gardens that are there would still be there. And instead of having tenants, you would have owners. You'd have stakeholders who theoretically would be more committed to Aiken and to the neighborhood and whatever than somebody who's just occupying space as a tenant now. Mm-hmm. So there would be no physical changes. I think Bill makes a good point. You're likely to see less traffic where you don't have as many people coming in and out of the barn right now. And so, you know, for a whole lot of reasons, I think that makes good sense. And again, I would emphasize that he was correct. There is no pending matter to there's no potential sale, there's no listing of the property, but the first step to even get toward that would be to do what they're doing here tonight, and that is to request this minor subdivision. Mm-hmm. But I want to assure the commission and I want to assure the audience that that none of this would happen without heavily restricted covenants being put in place before there was any sale, and that would be, of course, expressed to any potential buyer of the property.
And that would include further restriction of any further subdivisions. In other words, the largest two parcels here being almost 4 acres, or 3-point-something acres, could never be.
I think that could be certainly put in there. There'd just be that what you see is what you get.
Yeah, that's what we want to do.
Yeah, we would love to be able to come, you know, if we were to move away eventually, long enough to come back in 15 years and look at it and see, wow, it's
still the same.
Still the same. We've just put so much of ourselves into it. We would more than anyone. I know everyone loves Aiken, everyone loves the historic district, but it was like our child, this property. And we'd like to see it, we'd like to oversee it going to sort of like a pet to a good home. And in this case, three of them going to good homes.
If it's appropriate, and I don't want to cut off any comment from the people in the audience, but I think in the work session the question of precedent was mentioned, and I'd love to speak to that very briefly. And I loved the fact that my friend Lucy Knowles and Jane Creighton Davis walked in and it made me aware of the fact that Lucy's family's home would be comparable to what this was. That was the old Dolan property on Berry Road. Mm-hmm. And when the Knowles family bought it, about the time I was born, that it was 15 acres. And then over time, many of the outbuildings were sold off. I believe Jane lives in one of them. and the, what was formerly 15 acres has shrunk down to the main, the principal residence where Lucy's sister Alice lives, and they share a driveway, and it's very comparable to what we're talking about here. Another one that comes to mind would be the carriage house in the former Frew estate right by the entrance to the Palmetto Golf Club, where Greg and Betty Ryberg now live in the carriage house, but that's been split off from the main house since about 1971, when Elka and Mel Haas bought the carriage house and made that their principal residence. And they shared a common driveway until very recently, when the main house created a new freestanding driveway farther to the east. And I think Betty and Greg now have sole access of the original driveway. But that was another example, not quite as big as this, but an example of a, I think it was 5.625 acre parcel where the Frews lived, and that carriage house was sold off, but shared driveway, shared amenities. And then the Green Boundary Corporation selling 3 acres to the city, the northern pasture of the Green Boundary Club property, that if we walked out there right now, it looks just like it has for years, but that northern 3 acres is now owned by the city. But physically, there's no change, and that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about doing something realistic and viable that would ensure the sustainability of this very special property, and it is a special property.
Well, I remember the disrepair that the property was in, and I think there's nothing worse than seeing a large, beautiful estate go into disrepair, and the Moores have done a remarkable job of refurbishing and renovating and bringing it back to its...
I think to assure the commission and assure the people in the audience, I know that it can be done through restrictive covenants and even as far as going to the facade easements, to where that we can assure everyone that it will continue to look like it looks.
Mm-hmm. Mr. and Ms. Moore, in the work session, we talked about parcel 3 is just, and your application was just less than 1 acre. It was 0.9 something. And there was an indication in the work session that you would possibly consider making that 1 acre or more.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's like 0.1 of an acre. And it's along that long line between parcel 3 and parcel 4. So it's a long stretch. And to get 0.1, you're probably talking maybe 3 or 4 feet.
I don't know, but
across it.
I consulted with them during the work session, and if this is appropriate, we'd love to amend the application to assure the commission, or you can make it a contingency, that the plat be adjusted to make that parcel 3 a full 1 acre. And then there wouldn't have to be any further BZA variance request for if a future owner wanted to have horses there.
And if I may say, the reason for any of that is that we would like that to also bring equestrians to that property. We didn't realize that you needed that extra 0.1, but when we found out that's the case, we would have adjusted it before. Actually, the first survey we had had it that it was too far down and it was going to interfere with the larger equestrian area, which was a priority of ours to make sure that larger equestrian area stayed visually absolutely the same as much as possible. And as I say, just to repeat, even if there were to be a main house, there's plenty of foliage and garden to even disguise that for the most part. You hardly ever see such a building.
Any other questions, commissioners?
Yes, sir. Mr. Moore, I'm reading from page 16 of your application, and it says, in virtually every respect, Two Trees is already functioning as a four-parcel property.
Yes, I appreciate that.
So, conceptually, what you want to do is go from something that's already functioning as a four-parcel property with renters to a property, four-parcel property with, as you call them, stakeholders and people who would have, a stake in keeping the property up. I'm wondering, right now you have a lot of renters. And does that make maintenance more difficult?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Let me address one thing that you reminded me about, which is I'll go back to the rental property.
But another aspect of the division, as I say, there are uses, and there's the geographic layout of the property. I've sort of talked about the uses. But also geographically, the divisions that were made, and this really, as I think Bob has pointed out several times, really almost needed to visit the property. I think maybe everybody sort of knows where. When you visit the property, then it's not just lines drawn arbitrarily on a piece of paper. Because you could divide this property into three, just take a pencil and put it any way you want. But it's not what we wanted to do. We wanted to try to follow natural divisions and also try to group uses of the property together. And so, just to briefly explain it to everyone, Parcel 2 and Parcel 1 is divided by a fence that was established. It's a wire fence with columns. And the old chain from the Grace family shipping line, the anchor chain, that's the natural division between Parcel 2 and Parcel 1. And that's, we think that division has, we certainly think that the brick columns and the chain, the anchor chain, have been there since probably 1930, 1929. So and then when we moved there, that fence line had become heavily deteriorated. We rebuilt it, not with brick, but we rebuilt it with a new wire fence. And that wire fence is no longer new. It's still 33 years old. But it has functioned as a different part of Parcel 1 because it has been a rental property since we moved out of that house to move into the main house in 1989. So that's not arbitrary, and you cannot really, when you stand at the front gate on Magnolia, you can't even oversee it. You can't even see into Parcel 2 visually. You can't, because there's so much, even in the wintertime, there's so much vegetation and cedars, evergreens, and so on and so forth. The view is completely obscured into Parcel 2. And Parcel 2 now goes all the way to the front of the property. And those who have seen it, I think on nice days, have seen that that's actually quite a functioning property. There's a good bit of space in Parcel 2. And it has functioned, as I say, as a separate part of the property from really day one. Because when we first moved here, we put dogs into that area. We had five dogs when we first moved here, and they were all in that area, so they were fenced in. And then running along the middle of the property, the line that starts at Grace Avenue, there's a line that divides Parcel 3 from Parcel 2, and it continues. If you see it, it continues behind the main house, and then legs off to this side, to what would be the west side, and comes down. That is not at all arbitrarily marked out. That other line is a brick sidewalk, but that line from there all the way up to almost into the driveway there, past the main house, that is a brick wall, a solid brick wall. It's a double course brick wall that goes all the way through there. That's not a line just simply drawn on a map. That's a brick wall that's been there since we moved there. So that's like a 30-year-old plus brick wall. Okay, so that's totally a natural boundary. If we started to go in other configurations, that wall would be blocking people's. It would be right in the middle of people's other parcels. It would be a disaster. It would be a disaster. You have to start tearing that wall down, which would be a great pity. Okay. Of course, this boundary, the southern boundary, is another brick wall which we share with the adjoining property, and then there's another brick wall that goes all the way down Whiskey Road. Another brick wall that comes all the way down Grace. And that only leaves the separation between Parcel 4 and 3, which is not a natural boundary, but it really doesn't matter because of those squares there are paddocks, and if according to this plan all those remain as paddocks, they don't go away, they remain as paddocks. Okay, and then that only leaves. From right over the top of the number 4, there's a line that comes to almost Parcel 2 and then goes to Grace Avenue. That's a driveway, and along the driveway there's also a fairly low but substantial brick wall that goes all the way from that area all the way to Grace Avenue. And that becomes another boundary. So it divides in terms of its use. You have rentals, you have the main house, and you have the equestrian. These are uses. You could say, well, why don't you put parcel 2 with parcel 3? If you did that, you would have a driveway running right through the middle of the parcel. And then one of these properties would be neglected, because you do want a main house with a stakeholder in every single corner of the property. Divided by a driveway, parcel 2 will fall into disrepair. It's just a certainty. Okay, so that was the reason we went for 4 instead of 3. For uses, we would much rather have a stakeholder in parcel 2 than just leave it as a rental. It would be really great. We've had a number of people who stayed there, or horse people who have loved staying there. And they've put their horses in the stable. They've had great times. And they've expressed how wonderful it would be if that were also an equestrian part of the property. So it's been thought out for a number of years. And since we're getting, the hardship is our age, unfortunately, and we can't turn that back. And we have worked with Bill on this for several months to try to fine-tune this that would be acceptable to everyone in the community. As I say, to repeat myself on this, we find it a great tragedy that no one wanted to come and look at, except people like you, which we do deeply appreciate.
Any other questions from the commission? All right, thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak on behalf of this application? Well, that narrows it down, doesn't it? All right, is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition to this?
Okay, no second. I'm Barbara Price. I reside at 223 Trafalgar. I'm an architect and a planner. I believe that the minimum lot size is a critical component of the comprehensive master plan of the zoning ordinance and is an integral part of the character and the flavor of this district. Reducing that from 3 acres to 1 acre is a major change. It's not insubstantial, and for that reason, I oppose this request. Thank you.
One moment, please. Any questions from the commission?
Ms. Price, what do you think, for what you just said, and with the applicant saying that they would bump that at least to 1 acre, what? Help me understand a little bit more your opposition to that, other than just the size. Is there?
The size was carefully considered in a critical requirement for this district, and changing it, from 3 acres to 1 acre is a major shift. It's not minor or insubstantial, and so for that reason, I believe that it's a change. So without some additional understanding of why you need to reduce it to 1 acre, I think that would really change the flavor and the character of the neighborhood.
Ms. Price, do you see a distinction between a freestanding 1 acre lot and this 1 acre parcel as part of this bigger piece that's within
the lot? Not in the way that this has been presented.
Okay.
It hasn't been presented as a planned unit development or some other broader.
Well, it is as a subdivision.
I understand that, but I don't see the characteristics that they're talking about, I don't see as a part of this proposal. I don't see them there. I see that they say they won't, but I don't see it as a part of this proposal or of the characteristics of what has been presented.
Have you yourself been to tour the property?
Yes, I have.
Ms. Price, does the fact that this is behind a wall and essentially hidden from view from the public still give you concern about changing
Yes,
the character of the neighborhood?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Yeah, just the fact that it has a wall doesn't change the fact that it's a major variance from a 3-acre lot, 3-acre requirement. It's a beautiful, important piece of this community. Everyone cares very deeply, very respectful of what's been done. No one is saying that it is, they we care very much, and so we want to maintain it, and we want to be a voice in how it's maintained because it's our community.
But speaking of maintenance,
yes.
Would you agree or disagree that this runs the risk of being one potentially decrepit property that's very difficult to maintain versus being four properties that are well maintained?
That's a different issue than what's presented as far as the 3-acre lot requirement.
But considering that it's essentially functioning the way that it's written there, that it's drawn up now, have you given that any consideration?
It doesn't change the requirement that this is the fact that this is a major variance from the 3-acre lot.
Okay.
The maintenance is a different issue.
Okay.
Thank you all very much for the opportunity to express our opinions.
Thank you. We have heard you.
Good evening. My name is Randy Wolcott. I reside at 221 3rd Avenue, and I am in the similar zoning district, RSS. I strongly agree with the prior speaker that the changing it to 1 acre is a major difference of what is designed from the beginning. I think that you have to think about that this was one of the three equestrian zones that we have in the city. We have the RS, RSS, and Horse District. There's a reason why the three of them were designed in the way that they are. The racetrack needed to have lots of horses, so the horse district can have as many horses as they want. The residential single stable was for private residences, which this is, but it also had to have room for horses. So you can't have an RSS on 1 acre, because you can't have horses with driveways and houses in your outbuildings and have any room for the horse. We had a similar situation where a gentleman tried to put two houses together in our neighborhood, thinking that he had a pool and two houses and driveways, and thought that he could get 1 acre so that he could make it worth more by making it a horse property. But it wasn't. It didn't make actually 1 acre, so it didn't go through. But the situation is, it makes it more valuable. So to answer your question, Kent, about the way it's functioning now, I think we heard too many coulds and woulds and maybe shoulds in our presentation. I think that they need to come up with a plan before they're asking for the subdivision. They need to have all of those covenants in place. Dreaming that, you know, it's a beautiful dream, and I agree that there's problems with these big estates, but we've sold these big estates in town. I'm a real estate agent. We sold Sandhurst, which was a beautiful big 5-acre property. It didn't have to be split, and it's being enjoyed beautifully now, and it's kept up better than it was before. There are people who would purchase these properties. It's a lovely, lovely property. They've done an incredible job fixing it up, and they should be commended for that. But the idea that because it's split up now, it needs that it functions and works, isn't what we're talking about today. And Bob, I think, again, you were talking about the 1 acre, or Liz, you said about a 1 acre. Again, it's about the horses. This is a horse district. It's a residential single stable. It's an equestrian property. You can't have horses on smaller than that. And again, I think that making it into 1 acre is just wrong for RSS. It will change RSS forever. So those were well thought out at the time. A lot of think of the examples that were given were prior to the zoning change, where we made these three zoning horse equestrian districts. And sure, there are a lot of grandfathered ones that are small, and they're problems. You need to have more land if you're going to have horses. And I think the historic nature of the buildings with their outbuildings is a great component of Aiken. I don't think that's your purview. Maybe that would have to go to design review for the appropriateness of splitting up. But that has been fought in times and held up, too. So I would ask you to, at this time, not accept this proposal, this resolution.
All right.
Thank you.
Any questions for Randy? Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition to this application? Okay, somebody's walking down. Okay.
I'm Janet Branson. I'm a neighbor. And my opposition, this is the first time I've heard about splitting it up into four parcels. And my opposition is the size of the lots. It's just too small, and it divides the property. And I think we should stick with the 3 acre. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Charlotte Weedman, 626 Hain Avenue. I'm the president of the Historic Aiken Foundation. I'm opposed to this, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Historic Aiken Foundation. Since 1974, the Historic Aiken Foundation has been an advocate for the protection and preservation of Aiken's historic homes, buildings, and districts. We believe that the preservation of historic estates is tantamount to our mission. The presence of these large estates from an integral part of Aiken's history is a key component in maintaining our city's unique charm and identity. The Historic Aiken Foundation opposes subdivision of historic properties, especially when it involves the division of outbuildings, dependencies, and structures from their main house. Additionally, the foundation opposes a division of large estates that will destroy the character of the district for which the original zoning was assigned. These properties must be maintained as a whole if we are to preserve and protect our very special place. I would also like to point out that we have people in Aiken who have combined historic properties that were once divided, such as the Orstroms and the Ingrams, and those are the type of people we'd like to commend.
Anyone else who would like to speak in opposition?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm Leslie Giobbe. I live at 541 Grace Avenue, and I would like to start off by commending Bill and Simi for the beautiful job that they have done in maintaining your beautiful property. But I have to say that the acreage that's listed on the document says it's over 9 acres. It's actually 8.87 acres because you're including the right-of-way, which you cannot build on and use. So we're talking about less than that. In the Horse District, is booming right now. In years past, it contributes on average $3 million a year in revenues to the city, and then the taxes on top of that. There's a horse trainer that's got approximately 100 horses in training. Dogwood has moved to Bert Schuster's property so that a new trainer could come into the track that's at the training track, the stables at the training track. Heidi White, I just spoke with Heidi earlier today. She has 19 horses in training. Heidi, you know, she made the Olympic team that was going to Hong Kong, but had to withdraw because her horse was not up to it at the time. And she also came in second at Rolex. She was the top-ranked rider, American rider at Rolex, so it was like 12 years ago. Anyway, she has 19 horses in training. They're trying to buy the barn next door because she's in the market to buy more horses. She's got more students coming in. You've got high-caliber riding and horse training going on. It's a very, very vital part of the Aiken history and the Aiken economy. And if you start letting properties be subdivided down, then it will eventually all just go away. And this is a very important part of Aiken's history. It's also a very important part of Aiken's economy. Now, I was on the phone just a couple of weeks ago. Somebody called me, somebody I know from up in New York City, whose husband is a very senior financial executive, and the whole area up there, they're all talking about if this tax proposal goes through, they do away with the deduction for state and local taxes, they're out of there. Now, they have a big co-op on the Upper East Side, and they've got a horse farm in Bedford, New York. I said, come on down, check out Aiken. They're going to be coming down. And he could jet in and jet out for the weekend, and she could be down here with her horses and whatever, whatever. So there are buyers for these properties, and we'd rather see them kept together because they are such beautiful, special properties, and the buyers are there. And I think they will be in the future with the way things seem to be going tax-wise. So again, the Moores have done a great job. It is a beautiful, beautiful place. It's near and dear to our hearts. But you start doing this, and then it's just like the slippery slope, and we don't want that to happen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jenny Stoker, 331 Kershaw Street, Southeast. I came with very organized notes, but I've heard so many other things that I feel I need to respond to that my notes have gotten a little discombobulated, so I apologize for that. First, I would say that Mr. Moore said himself there are many leaps of logic in this application when he spoke, and I think that is very true. There are many leaps of logic, and most of them are in his proposal. It seems to me that the claims that they're making can't really be determined. The configuration would result in less viable properties over the long term if it was divided into 3-acre lots. We really can't determine that at this point. It can't be determined. It says that it would require demolition of existing structures to divide it the way it is. We can't determine that. I think one of my major concerns is, like most people here, that you're going to begin a precedent, and you discussed it in your work session, that other people will then want to divide their properties there into smaller pieces too. And that is and you won't be able to tell them no, because if you do this. And Mr. Moore won't be able to tell them no. He might not even be here. But I'd like to read you some of the comments that I've found online from other meetings on the city's website, some of his points and comments made in relation to other applications. In 2009, the Planning Commission considered an ordinance to increase the minimum lot size in the RSS zone. Not decrease it, but increase it. Two of the potentially affected property owners objected mightily, and the Moores were one of them. And their 2009 letter to the commission resonates with this meeting. I won't read but a few lines, but under the heading of greater good of the community, their letter stated, this ordinance pits, this is the ordinance to increase the size, pits property owner against property owner. Each marginal increase in the permitted divisible acreage unit arbitrarily creates winners and losers. Not only is this not equitable or fair, it creates an adverse relationship between property owners. This hardly contributes to the greater good of the community. And I would argue he's not contributing to the greater good of the community by asking you to give him these variances. He also quoted in that letter, we're asking for no special consideration or favors. We just want the zoning to simply remain the same and to be left in peace, no more, no less. And it was signed by William and Chalamet Moore. If we replace zoning ordinance with zoning variances, do the same sentiments apply? Doesn't this request for variances pit property owner against property owner? And aren't the Moores asking for special considerations with this request for a variance? The minutes of a 2011 BZA meeting regarded a proposed subdivision on Colleton, and the minutes recorded Mr. Moore thus. He agrees with some of the sentiments made. It is a unique area, and the central characteristics need to be preserved. There has to be sensitivity to traffic, the architecture, and the historic nature of the neighborhood. This is exactly the concern of most of these people here tonight regarding this property on Grace and Magnolia. Just 2 months ago at a city council meeting regarding maintenance of properties, the minutes recorded Mr. Moore as saying, the rules need to be the same for everyone and there should not be exceptions. A variance to allow 4 lots at 2 trees, 2 of those lots much below 3 acres, is a very bad precedent to set. If the Moores are going to continue to push for fairness and the same rules for everybody, then we can assume they would support every RSS parcel being divided into any size lots the owners desire. And I ask you to please stop that before it starts. Please deny any division other what is currently allowed in RSS zone, which would be 2 acres. Why would that be? What's the hardship in dividing this into 2 acres? What's the definable hardship? Not all these things that they suppose might happen. I think it is a very slippery slope to begin dividing these lots smaller, and I ask you to refrain from doing so. If for some reason you decide that you must allow these variances, I ask you to make sure that you see and we see these covenants in writing prior to any variances. So I would say you perhaps the answer is to table this and come back to it, unless you can just deny it on the grounds that I have mentioned tonight. Thank you.
All right, is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Gail King, and I live at 330 Kershaw Street, and I consider Simeon Biltmore friends of mine, which makes this difficult. But the fact is, as you'll see by the large crowd gathered here tonight, this is a deeply unpopular request. It doesn't matter how many restrictions are going to be on this. It's still a subdivision, which is a word that brings shudders to our collective hearts. No matter whether there's a lovely wall around the property, what goes on behind the wall, no matter how well planned, it's still a subdivision. What makes Aiken so special are these wonderful old historic properties, of which this, the Grace Estate, which the Moores have very well looked after all these years, is one of those estates. Aiken prides itself on its wonderful historic heart, and this is at the heart of our historic district. I urge you, please, do not allow this variance. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Okay, is there anyone? Yes.
Jane Page Thompson, 240 Knox Avenue. You all have heard us talk about this district in its many different forms, whether it's HD, RSS, or RSH. And when we look at the greater aerial of this area, in the application, it talks about the smaller parcels and grasping to that 1 acre parcel division, about the parcels across the street. And when you think of the Horse District as a much larger area than what we're talking about, and you consider the RSS and the RSH and the HD, and you look at those in capsules of about 160 acres or 140 acres, and you run it down that side of Whiskey all the way over to Powder House. The variance of size of parcel does concentrate. So when we look at quadrants within that, so clearly the comprehensive plan functioned. And you see, especially between Whiskey and Two Notch, Grace to Knox, you see that concentration of about 46 properties. When you go Knox to Price to Two Notch to Whiskey, you see that septuple into the 600 parcels. When you cross over Whiskey Road, we see in that same footprint of acreage, we see 60 parcels. So the interplay of size of lot, while we think it might be less defined, it actually breaks out into pretty good blocks as to how our comprehensive plan for the last 200 or so years has actually worked. And whether it was intended in the beginning by Dexter and Pascalis, we will never know. But we have carried that block theme on. And this portion, especially between Whiskey and Magnolia and then Grace and over to Knox, is a very important part of what we call that RSS district. We've had a lot of discussions over HD versus RSS versus RSH and whether something should be subdivided and subdivided based on use. And in my tenure of going to city council meetings and being on BZA, the idea of wanting to grant subdivision based on use because it makes sense logically isn't necessarily what we do in Aiken. What we do in Aiken is we sometimes have to take the bullet for the bigger cause, which is understanding that our historic character and our horse community is an integral part of what makes Aiken Aiken. And there are a couple of things that I would like to ask questions, if I can. Is there a special exception for the commercial stable on this property?
No, it's a legal non-conforming situation, so it predated that portion of the zoning
ordinance. So we have a lot of idiosyncrasies related to this particular parcel because of the wall. Any of the acreage outside of the wall is no longer considered viable use divisionably within the wall because the wall is now the reason why the uniqueness exists. Therefore, you have to take the acreage within the wall for the subdivision. So therefore, it does drop below the 9 acres. So it would only be 2 parcels rather than 3. That it could maximum get, and I think there's a lot of talk about 3 parcels, and you're asking for 4. So that's twice as many as what would be allowed. So I just wanted to bring that up. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Is there anyone who would like to make any other comment?
I think the elephant in the room is fairly obvious. All the preceding remarks essentially have been a method to not allow any subdivision of the property whatsoever. It's a shame that people who live in an echo chamber who convince themselves of certain positions can't look beyond that. Is the historic district of Aiken in good shape? Again, if you there are plenty of indications that's not the case. This may not be the forum for that, but there are many houses as we speak in Aiken, large houses, where the main house is being rented out on a nightly basis. Anyone who knows anything about real estate knows that that's a sign of distress. They're easily accessible. We can go through it on another time. Maybe Aiken Council of Neighborhoods might be interested in hearing how well things are going in Aiken. There are significant problems. Mrs. Branson, who's been a great neighbor, we've enjoyed having her as a neighbor over the years, but it's quite obvious that there's difficulty in maintaining properties. There are certainly maintenance issues there.
All right, just one moment, please.
Yeah.
I think we have heard everyone speak with respect and grace, and I want to ask that we continue to listen to every speaker without sidebar comments. Thank you.
Again, if people need a tour, they can come and take a tour of our property. Again, we ask them on numerous occasions to do that. Maybe they have no reasons to be closed-minded towards that. I'd like to read, in terms of, there has been reference to the issue of whether or not this becomes a precedent. There's also was reference to three years ago we appeared in front of one of the committees to seek a manure permit, a certificate of manure to compost manure. The city issued an opinion on the property, which was registered. This opinion is available. It's the city's. It was written by Sandra Korblick, signed by Larry Ogletree and the rest. And it says, there are extraordinary and exceptional conditions pertaining to this property. It is commonly known as a Two Trees Historic Winter Colony Estate. It is enclosed by a masonry wall that is approximately 8 feet tall. Although the minimum lot size for RSS zone properties is 3 acres, most RSS zone properties in this vicinity were likewise grandfathered in with much smaller sizes ranging from 1 to 5 acres. So this is an official document of the city acknowledging that that's the range of horse properties permitted in the district. This is a city document. As far as I know, it's law. Okay? These, and again, she writes, there are extraordinary and exceptional conditions pertaining to this property. People have raised it as a precedent in order to open the door simply to not allow any change to the property whatsoever. It's just a different way of saying that. I wasn't aware that to seek a variance in this form is seeking special conditions. I didn't realize that when you come here, you're seeking special favors and so on and so forth. I didn't know this was a favor granting process. I thought this was part of the normal legal process in the city. In terms of the debate which was held in the city, I think in 209, concerning how many divisions are permitted for these properties, the proposal was that it be limited to five acres, and that was defeated. And my recollection is that that motion was defeated unanimously. So that was defeated then, and I'm sure it would be defeated again. The proposal really on the docket is no change. The 1 acre is obviously just a way to slow this down. It's not even essential to the. If we had not put it in, then they would be saying that we're taking property away from horse use. It's not the end of the world. We're hoping that it be used that way. If those who have visited the property, again, the invitation was extended. We would have treated everyone with respect and courtesy. Those who have viewed the property know that that acreage back there is large and works as a coherent whole now. There would be the idea that somehow or another this 1 acre and blah, blah, blah is just purely a smokescreen. I think that's fairly obvious. In terms of the Strike Aiken, I'm very disappointed that they would come and basically represent that position, that no division at all is allowed in any of these properties. We've made a case of how these properties can be maintained more effectively by multiple ownership. We would think that you would welcome those sorts of stakeholders in town that would add to the community, that would add to the tax base. We would think that would be, we're shocked that that's not become part of the problem. Again, I don't think people in the room, I say this with respect, I don't think they're aware of the tenancy problem that's existing in this town and getting worse by the moment. It's a real problem. Maybe they should check that out. Again, they're welcome to come to the neighborhood council, and I think it's highly enlightening to be there. Just to summarize, I know what I wanted to say about Historic Aiken. I think they should be aware of taking an extremist position that there should be no divisions of any property, any large properties in Aiken is a dangerous position to take. The zoning problems are probably causing a lot of the problems in the city in terms of people have to, by necessity, renting out the main house of historic properties on a nightly basis. It's a real problem. Historic Aiken should be aware of that. In fact, Historic Aiken gave me and my wife the President's Award for Historic Preservation in the year 2013. And so it would have been nice had they picked up the phone, given us a call to ask what was going on.
And just in that regard also, someone called the newspapers and the press anonymously, saying all sorts of things. We had a call from the particular TV station, you know, repeating things that were just wild. And it was an anonymous tip. I don't think everybody in the room is aware of quite all the very, very unwholesome and unhelpful responses they've been to this. And I really hope that going forward in this community, that people understand that there should be some respect and some courtesy to extend it to people with whom they have some disagreement. I appreciate some of the remarks that were made in terms of our friends, and they are our friends, and I accept that, but there's others in this neighborhood who don't play nice. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Any questions?
I do. Mr. Moore, may I ask you a question, please?
Yes, sir.
Would there be a possibility that you could combine two of those parcels and make this into a three parcel rather than a four parcel application, or maybe even have to refile it? But I'm just wondering, have you and your wife considered that at all, to make this rather than, because I think the biggest argument I've heard tonight from the others, and trying to listen and be as fair as I can, is they're worried about the size of parcel three.
Yeah.
So is there any possibility that three and four maybe, or whatever, could be combined? I know you talked earlier about three and two, but is there a possibility? I'm just curious to what you would
have.
It would have to be two parcels because it's just under the nine, so it wouldn't be able to be three.
But there are smaller parcels.
Mm-hmm.
So there are. There already exists.
No, I do know, yeah. But for the subdivision.
Yeah. I think I addressed a little bit that we have thought about it intensely. The reason that we did the separation of three and four the way we did is we really wanted to make the equestrian part, the main historic equestrian part of the property, as large as we possibly could get away with, while maintaining some sort of space for what is the rental part of the property now, and would have a main house. We would like to see that main house. And I think that is already in. I wanted to ask maybe Brian. We have committed to that. We have committed to the. I mean, there's a lot of skepticism, perhaps even of our lawyer, that we don't intend to deliver this. But haven't we already committed to you in this proposal that we would turn, if any change is ever made to parcel three, where the garage is, that would be the main house? We are on the record for that. Am I right?
Correct. Yeah. We. When staff reviewed it, that there could be a primary residence declared for each.
Okay. So, in that respect, if people had come to us and said, you know, you're not tearing down anything, so they can't say we're demolishing anything. Let's try to take it step by step and what could have been a conversation with people on this issue, okay? We are not tearing anything down. We are not changing any visible lines on the property. The only additions to the property were these little stables, which increase the viability of the equestrian use of the property. It is an utter mystery to me why people would not be welcoming of other people coming to town, sharing their interests and having the same sort of lifestyle they do, and adding real talent to this community. It's utterly, utterly preposterous, except under some obstinate view of this community to say that's not helpful to the community. And for you to applaud that is beyond amazing to me.
Okay.
So, in that respect, we have tried to increase that. Okay. Now, if we were to join parcel two with parcel three, there'd be a driveway coming right through the middle of the property. And one of them would be the stepchild of the property. Parcel three. Let's talk about parcel three. That seemed to be the concern. If you want, we won't even allow it to be. We could say no horses. No horses. Okay. Is that what people want? They don't want to let. We find that amazing. If that's what people want, if that's what's doing it, then that's fine. We could say no horses on that property.
Mr. Moore, you have spoken a great deal about the proposal and the vision and what you all want to have happen, and you've talked about sustainability, and we certainly all recognize the difficulty in today's economy and market. Yes, I know there are people who might be available, but I think we all recognize it's limited and it's expensive to support a property that size. So you've told us what will happen if we approve this. What will happen if we do not?
Well, what would happen is that we would go back to the drawing board and see where we stood legally in terms of the issue of the three or the two. We bought over 9 acres. We have a deed. We have a deed, and Bill Tucker can testify. He's the one that prepared that document. We bought more than 9 acres. It's 9.2 something. That's what we have as a registered deed. The reason that's come back this way is the surveyor thought that somebody might question certain aspects of that corner property down there, and so he basically left that corner out of the equation. But what we would do is go back and see what we could do, and perhaps come back with no variances whatsoever. But it will not be pretty. It will not be pretty. And we'll, you know, and then we'll have to see.
Okay.
Madam Chair,
thank you.
Mm-hmm. For the sake of the commission, may we make a motion to suspend the rules for discussion?
Yes, there can be a motion. Thank you, Mr. Moore.
Sure.
Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second that.
All right, all in favor? All right, the motions are suspended for discussion.
Madam Chair, may I ask a member of the audience to approach the podium so that I may ask a question?
Yes.
Mr. Walcott, are you still here?
Yes, sir.
Do you mind if I ask you a question?
No, that'd be fine.
Thanks. I'd like to speak to you as an equestrian. I know you have a notion on those matters. You had talked about 1 acre and its effect, the potential effects on efficient and proper equestrian use. Could you speak to that a little bit more, please?
Well, I was mentioning, I think I have to speak for those who can't speak. Our equestrian partners are family members who we love as horses, which is a big part of Aiken. They need room to graze and walk around. It's part of their physiology to move, to work their guts and everything. There's all kinds of stuff about it. But 1 acre is very small to put on horses. And there is an awful lot of property there that is, as you put up the aerial of all the parcels, sure, there's lots of RSS in that area. None of those have horses because they're too small. There are still other requirements in the city ordinances that has to be at least 1 acre, in certain areas RS-15 has to have at least 1 acre to get a special exception. There are those are built in so that you know that you have at least enough room for a horse to live and to be able to manage the tack and the stalls and the barns and the manure and all of the things that go with it. So I think that is, again, why these zones were created, to have 3 acres in these areas. And I think that a lot of these properties were already those size before this overlay zoning was put on there. So they don't really conform, but they have other ordinances to protect the horses from being slotted into those properties. So
we have no RSS 1 acre with horses?
You do.
There are.
Okay.
But they're difficult. I have one behind my house, and they have to share our manure removal system because they don't have enough room.
But they do exist, because you said there are none, but they do exist.
Excuse me, I didn't mean to misspeak.
That's why I wanted to make sure we corrected that.
And I think there are some, but I think those were grandfathered in. They were already. It was the mayor's barn. Mayor Kavanaugh owned that property. Not that he got special favor, but they just happened to own it. It's behind my barn. you couldn't take it away from people who had horses. There were other people who had polo sports like polo that usually have to have more than 2 or 3 horses. They generally have 7 horses. So they had to figure out how those people could continue to do what they were doing with their horses on a property that may have been, you know, only 3 acres or 2.5, whatever. But they were given at that time, a grandfathered in, I believe, to continue the use that was sustainable. Yeah, our neighborhood has a number of them, and they're very difficult, and a lot of them really don't, I mean, they can have horses. They have to keep them very clean, and we have a mechanism in the city for that also. We have our equestrian management, I forget what it's called, but they have a group of that will go and look and make sure that the paddocks are picked up and the manure is taken care of and the horses are healthy and clean and fed well. So, did I answer your question?
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted a purely equestrian
really
standpoint
that
for practical reasons.
The 3-acre zoning minimum needs to be maintained in its whole because that's why it was developed.
So if the Moors were to divide this and they just said,
wait a minute, we have suspended the rules. We're in discussion just in the commission.
I still have a question for Randy if you come back, please.
I'm an expert all of a sudden. But
I'm not looking for an exact number. It would be difficult even for our planning department to get that for us quickly. But guesstimate how many 1-acre lots are there. The people that are, not even set up for exercising, that are just stabling horses. Because I know there's lots that have just stables on them and people are stabling them and it's in the RSS. So how many would you guesstimate? I'm not looking for exact science.
RSS?
Either one.
1-acre lots?
1 acres, yeah.
It's a small number compared to, you have a lot of parcels at RSS. How many of those that have horses that are less than, that are 1 acre?
I have faith you're going to give me a good honest answer. What do you think? 25?
A handful, yeah. Most of them that are smaller don't have horses on them. The ones that were grandfathered in have systems that work for those properties. If they don't, they don't have horses on them.
Thank you, Randy. We're still.
Thank you.
So now the discussion is among the council. All right.
Mr. Bessley, could you provide some context for that last question?
I was wondering. How many other 1-acre lots are people keeping horses on? Not necessarily for exercise, other than just stabling or whatever within that area. And so somebody from the audience, and I believe it was Ms. Page, I'm not sure, said that in RSS it might be less than 6. I was just trying to find a number. I know there's not an exact science. It would be very difficult for Ryan to pull that up at a moment's notice, but what do we have? I'd like to have just some, factual information to try to make a decision.
Okay. Would you like to clarify?
I think that the important issue is I don't think that any properties have been formed or shrunk to less than 3 acres and allowed to have horses so that they could have horses. I don't think that since this zoning was created, the 3 different groups for horses, that anyone's been able to subdivide and still have horses on it when it was less than 3 acres.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Jason, any comments?
I just asked Ryan, was that correct, to the best of his knowledge, was that comment
correct?
Walcott, correct.
Most of the existing, smaller than 3-acre lots that did have horses in the RSS district. The RSS district was put into place roughly 99, so it's fairly recent history of doing that. So they're most of them are legal non-conforming.
Okay.
I know that they're small places because there's one right around the corner from me, and it's a 2-stable place, and it's less than 1 acre. So, also 5 acres behind me, but they do exist.
I think so.
They do exist. My concern is, and this is what I was going to say, my concern is because the Moors own this property, it's their property, they can do whatever they wish with it, by and large.
So if they were to divide it straight down the middle in two, you're going to lose the historic flavor of the main house and the gardens and a lot of the work. You run the risk of that wall being torn down by future owners.
I just think the concept of keeping the estate as a whole is a good one. And I think that's their intent.
Yeah, I too.
Added, but as a whole.
Right.
That main law.
Right. You know, I am troubled by the potential risk of what happens if they can't find a function for the property as it is. Will it continue? Will it, you know, at some point be in disrepair as when they obtained it? You know, it is getting very expensive to maintain these properties. You know, there is some concern. We're still in session, though. Would you all please minimize the sidebars?
Good job.
Okay, so I share that concern.
Well, may I ask one more person to come back just
one
for
more.
Context? Mr. Tucker, could I borrow your expertise for a second? Spent way too much time this week around lawyers, but none of
I'm sorry. I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
Could you maybe just elaborate? You had talked about some precedents for some of these properties, maybe in the long run being better if they were cut up. Could you just speak to that?
Well, I don't know whether it's better or worse. I think that this presents a realistic way to sustain this property the way it is now by having shared ownership. You know, there's another possibility here, which I haven't even discussed with the Moores, and it would be very unusual, but you could come back as a condominium project. I don't mean condominiums in the traditional sense. I mean break it up into four parcels with a master deed, and it'd be a different kind of condominium, but a plan. You heard somebody say about planned unit development. You could actually do that. And really there would be no way to prevent it. I mean, it would still be highly structured, highly restricted. You know, with a condominium, with a master deed, you have to file it with the records, the county records, the register of deeds, and it's got to say exactly what it's going to look like. I don't think that's a good way to go, but that's possible. You know, the precedents, I mean, the Knowles property goes back into the 50s and the 60s, so this was long before what we're dealing with now as far as rules and regulations. But it's a similar situation where there was a 15-acre parcel that has had parts of it deeded off to individual owners, and they still share the old original driveway. And that's right there on Berry Road, and then to a lesser extent the carriage house, and then the main house at the Frew Estate on Berry Road, right by the entrance to Palmetto. So, you know, it has been done before, long before the current zoning regulations were in place. But you know, it's there are different ways to do it. The Moores. Sitting back in the audience with me, if it becomes a situation where it means not doing this or doing this, they are prepared to withdraw the request that the horses be allowed on parcel three. It would just be a purely residential parcel, if that would make any difference to anybody. But they, as you heard Bill very correctly state, the goal was to try to increase equestrian usage. And I can think of, to answer Bob's question, I can think of several very small parcels of property that, and I agree, it's probably not the best for the horse. I think Randy's absolutely right. But for better or for worse, people do have one or two pleasure horses in a very confined space. And that's probably not ideal, but it exists. So, am I responding to your question?
Absolutely. Thank
okay.
you very much.
Okay.
Okay. One of the things that I think we should do while we're still under the suspension of the rules, let's go through the variance criteria and discuss those points and be sure that we are clear based on what we have heard.
Anyone have any comments on A?
So criteria A is granting of the variance will not be detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare. So I don't think I see anything detrimental to public health, safety, or welfare. Do you?
Mm-hmm.
I would agree.
I would agree.
Okay. What about B? The request for the variance is based on particular conditions of size, shape, or topography of the property, which are not generally applicable to other property.
I think this is the toughest. I think with all the potential fencing and so forth that's up, I think it does limit the what you can do with this property in a true historic fashion. I mean, I've been adding these sizes and paddocks up in my head for the last week and a half. It's tough, and that's what I'm torn on, is this section of the variance criteria is B. Because I would like to see it done differently, but I think it does lend itself to some issues.
Being done differently.
Correct.
Right. Yeah, I think naturally in following the lines and keeping with not only the topography but also the existing structures and walls to maintain the flavor of
the
area and the historic use of the area, there are only certain ways it can be divided or split. And I would much rather see more use of the property than less use of the property.
And, I this is the one I agree with Jason. I struggled with this one a lot, too. But in looking at some of the options, it almost seems that some of the other configurations are very artificial in terms of maintaining the integrity.
Mm-hmm. To Mr. Tucker's point, if they were to come back, if it were to be denied and they came back, they could come back with that small piece of property and ask for a variance, and that would be just residential there,
right?
Rather than without.
And that would be the only variance they would require, correct? And not even that, really.
If tonight they got denied, they could potentially come back and they could ask for basically the same thing, except for number three would be just a residential lot, and they asked for the variance for that to be just from RSS to just residential.
So the variance would need to be granted for anything that would go against like existing regulations under the RSS district.
Correct. So they could potentially ask for that variance.
Right, any parcel under 3 acres,
right,
would require a variance, correct?
Can't use it for horses.
Any way, shape, or form. Yeah, there was a provision, and again, I think we talked about this in the workstation, but we're talking about here. So under normal residential, like RS8, RS10, RS15, a special exception may be granted by the BZA, Board of Zoning Appeals, to allow the two horses on the first acre, okay? Under the RSH, residential single-family horse, you're allowed that by right, and then under the RSS district, you're allowed, it doesn't reference a number of horses that you're limited to, so, by right.
I'm just curious, as a variance criteria, could we include that if we were to do it tonight, that one lot, number three, would have that variance added to it, that it would not be RSS? Or is that, if it's being rezoned, does that have to go back before?
A rezoning, if you tried to rezone property, that would have to be a separate application.
It would have to be a different application.
And that would have to go through
BZA?
No. So rezoning would have to
come back through
and the city council. Okay.
See, parcel 2 is
not 3 acres. So you have to do something with that.
What the variance section does allow is it does have language that that the Planning Commission, in granting a variance, may impose any conditions that would deem appropriate. So there is that statement in there that you could place some limitations on on a conditional approval, essentially, of the application if you were to go that direction.
I've just heard a lot of people talk about horses on a lot that's 1 acre, and that would certainly be one resolution to that, and we'd not allow that. And then the other portions of that property could, in fact, have those horses and could sustain them. They're doing it now. It's the property's not changing. It's just the
area. That would be 2 and 3.
So,
just to review, Madam Chair, is that we there was a couple of things discussed. One, as included in your packet, you would essentially be approving that as a residential-only property that would have to go that parcel 3. You would essentially be approving it as a residential-only property at this time, and then it would be up to the Board of Zoning Appeals, at which time any future owner were to want to stable horses on that property, it would be under their jurisdiction to grant that. So as presented, as amended with a 1 acre minimum for that, then you then are allowing horses by right on that property under the RSS district. So that's kind of the differentiation between those two things.
Gotcha.
So if we did that, they could parcel 1 and parcel 4 could continue as planned, but these two could not house horses if we did them as a separate.
The parcel 2 is over 1 acre currently, so it would have, right, it's currently falls under the RSS without a reference number of horses, unlimited horses.
Which is curious why that wasn't
established. I know.
One horse on 1 acre is tough. 10 horses on 1 acre is too many.
I don't think anybody with any horse sense would do that.
You would hope not.
Unintended. Okay.
Does removing equestrian use from one of these sub-properties go against the spirit of what they're trying to do, which is increase the equestrian use?
Yes. No doubt about it.
Asking a question.
Well, I agree. So if we want to continue, have the continued use as equestrian use, then that's a strong consideration. Personally, you know, I'd like to see it.
I think we're going through this process that they've probably gone through to come up with where they are. All right, C is strict compliance would impose a particular hardship and not a mere inconvenience. And we're talking about property, not person here.
Meaning? I mean, I know not the people, but in right. this sense, it would mean a hardship on the property.
Mm-hmm.
So the hardship on the property would be continued difficulty in maintenance and the possibility of its falling into disrepair again?
Correct. I think that risk is there.
So the variance will not violate the provisions of any other ordinance, and basically it won't because they've agreed
right.
to increase the size of parcel 3.
Correct. And then the last one, E, the request is not solely to alleviate a financial hardship.
No.
No. Not solely. All right, so based on this discussion, then, are we ready to...
Yes, I move that we resume.
Can I pause one quick,
yes.
for a quick question?
Yes.
And this may, Ryan, you may not be able to answer this, I think, best for that. In regards to the covenants and restriction piece of this, if it could, it cannot even be...
Included.
It's part of this.
We can add a condition.
We can.
Right. So you can, like I said, you can place conditions upon the variance, and you would be up to the board as to how they would be comfortable with those being enforced. And so, one logical way would be to place certain limitations in a covenant, like we described with the staff would, you know, in a typical subdivision application that would be similar to this and would be, you know, already in compliance with all the rules that would be administratively approved. We would essentially ask for a covenant to make sure that access is maintained. So those sorts of things, any sort of reasonable condition like that may be placed on the board and may be required to be as part of a covenant if that would make you more comfortable with some certain aspects.
And then by making it under, that would mean that you would be able to monitor that. I mean, in terms of making sure that it was presented.
So the fact that it would be approved by this board, for one thing, would be something that, you know, having a resolution that would state that would be monitored, yes, by staff, but then be able to be monitored on site by the collective property owners that are subject to that covenant.
Yes.
So
that would go down here, included in the motions, that covenants be recorded on all properties concerning their future use. Being consistent with current. Well, on page 5.
For the purposes of this evening, unfortunately, and obviously, we'd be without the details of those covenants, right?
But well, he was saying that if we include the language that they would administratively approve, that those would be administratively approved anyway, that we would just have to ensure that the any...
Right, so there's kind of essentially two.
In the language on the, right.
If you were to require certain things as part of a covenant, would like to see certain things as a part of a covenant, you would have the option if there are specific things and limited in nature, it might be something that would be signed off administratively by staff, that those would have to be included in there before the planning director could sign off on the actual plat document. Otherwise, you could, you know, if it were detailed enough that you would like to see it come back to you, you do have that ability as well.
That would be a table, though, correct?
Right. It would, that would likely be a continuous subject to
certain... You would have to continue it as part of all this. You would have to continue it. Might be the best thing to do. Well, I guess the question is, do we need to see that document, or do we just need to know what it's supposed to say, and then they can monitor it? Yes, you may. Yes.
You know, if we thought that was going to be a requirement, obviously I could have drafted some proposed covenants, but we were here on a minor subdivision request with no immediate plans to even market the property for sale. But I can assure you that I will have covenants drafted, and if you all want to make it a condition of approval that either by the commission or the staff that they be approved before recording, I have no problem with that. I mean,
I'll do
some dandy covenants, okay?
That's all I want to do, but should we have a 3 in there that say that any future covenants be presented to staff for approval?
So by conditioning...
This covenant only is about the driveway.
Correct. So if there are any other...
The maintenance.
Madam Chair, so the difference would be if there are the regulations zoning concerning the RSS zone district would apply to the property, and any additional oversight to the historic district, things like that, would apply whether you conditioned it or not. Those are current rules.
Right.
What you would be looking at conditioning is if there are certain components of it that would warrant some additional restriction, such as number of horses on certain properties,
outbuildings, removing outbuildings, removing the stables, that would not be allowed, that sort of thing. That repair would be necessary, but removing or changing any of the outbuildings or existing buildings would not.
I think that's already covered by the historic preservation ordinance. Because that would be
right.
This is a historic property.
They may add change because they might make one of those into a house.
Right. I didn't say not allow changes, but not allow tearing it down.
But I think there's that overlay that would all have to be approved. Any kind of demolition or facade change or anything like that already. So I don't know that
I think that would
be
covered.
That.
I don't think we need anything separate.
Okay, let's just check.
Yeah.
But,
okay. All right.
All right. Well, I move to reinstate the rules.
Second.
All in favor? All right, we're back in regular session, and now we will hear from one of the commissioners with a motion.
Look at
me. You made all the notes.
I have a motion to make, but I'm going to wait a second to see if anyone wants to proceed.
Well, it doesn't look like it, so can't go right ahead.
And I'm reading off of page 5. I propose a motion for denial. It stated that a resolution and a subdivision application 18-...
Please.
4003 be approved for the following reasons pursuant to Article 2. Where there's two. Would you like me to read the whole thing? Or?
Yes.
Okay. Pursuant to Article 2, paragraph 2-3-1.b of the Land Development Regulations, any unique or particular conditions of the subject property are not sufficiently limiting as to prevent the subdivision of the subject property as prescribed in the Land Development Regulations and Zoning Ordinance. And number two, strict compliance with the Land Development Regulations and Zoning Ordinance would not pose a particular hardship. The motion is to deny, so... For a second, Madam Chair, you should ask for that.
Yeah.
Second.
Is there any discussion?
Yes. I'm not 100% conceptually against subdividing this property. I want that to be on the record. I do have some issues with the, after hearing from some of the people in the crowd and doing quite a bit of analysis on the one-acre parcels and then removing equestrian use from a one-acre parcel when it was supposed to be for equestrian use and so forth. But I'll state for the record, I'm not necessarily conceptually against subdivision of this property, but I would like to see some other options.
And that's and for discussion purposes, that's exactly what I was going to say. Mr. Moore indicated to us that there could be a potential that it could be a lower number. So I would love to maybe see that. And that's I am concerned with the lot size as well. So that's why I second that motion.
All right, any other discussion? All right, then I'll call for the vote. All in favor? Okay. All right. There being no further business, this meeting is adjourned.